Hallelujah. We're going to the word this morning. Thank you, Father. We decree that as our eyes of understanding is enlightened, we see ourselves more the way you see us in Christ. We receive the wisdom of the Spirit. We decree that we'll function in this wisdom, by this wisdom. At the end of this meeting, the believers are edified and only Christ is glorified in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Colossians. Or before you go there, let's go to 2 Peter. There's no confusion, right? So we're going to start from which of them? 2 Peter. Yeah, there. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace, right? And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Okay, let's go back a few verses before this. Let's go to verse 15. Same chapter 3. Now, this is Peter, 2 Peter 3, verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is... The long suffering of our Lord is... The long suffering of our Lord is what? The word there, long suffering, is another word for. Another word for that is what? Patience, right? Beautiful. So, and put into account that the patience of our Lord is what? Salvation. So, on the long run of experiencing God's patience, what is the goal? What is the root? What is the goal? What is the goal?
Salvation.
What is the root? Are you sure? Listen again. On the long run of God's patience, what is the goal? What is the root? Okay. Love. Okay. So can we still call it love? Can we still call it salvation?
Yes.
Eh? What are you thinking? Is love the Greek word for salvation? Not yet. So an account, you know, and Peter is saying, put into account, that is, hold this in very high esteem, that the patience of our Lord is what? Salvation. Now, what is salvation? Ability to save, right? Right? Safety from something, right? Ability to save. So God's ability to save, in the fact that he is patient, we experience what? Salvation. Now, Peter is saying, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul. What did Peter call Paul there? Beloved brother Paul. So, was Paul an apostle? Was he an apostle? Did Peter call him apostle? What did he call him? Brother. That is to tell you that Peter recognized that the highest relationship we have as believers is what? Brother. Brotherhood. Right? So, a pastor is no more exalted than a brother. Whether they call you Reverend, Apostle, Doctor, everything together is not up to the title of a brother. Amen. Who are brothers? Brothers are people that came forth from the same womb. Yeah. You are my brother in Christ because we are from the same womb. I'm your brother in Christ because we are from the same. See. Christ did not die for apostles on. Christ did not die for the apostles on Monday and died for the prophets on Tuesdays, then the commoners on Wednesday. We have been brought forth by the resurrection of Christ. Remember that teaching 2 weeks ago? Adam slept, right? Adam slept, an allegory for what? Christ's death, yes? And Adam, the womb that was torn, rather, the rib taken out from Adam, was what? The church. Yes. So we are brought forth from that same womb. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ is a proof that we are from the same womb. Now Paul is saying that, Peter is saying rather that, the account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Next verse. As also in all his epistles. That should tell you, for Peter to have said this about Paul, the probability that he has read all Paul's epistles is about 100%. Right? So Paul read, Peter read Paul's epistle, meaning that Peter could have learned from Paul's epistle, but did not call Paul an apostle, but a brother. Because a brother is more exalted than an apostle. Are we together? Now, he's saying that Paul wrote something. So, what did Paul write in all his epistles? Paul was trying to communicate a fact, which is what? God's long suffering is salvation. The goal of God's patience is salvation. So, God is not an emotional being, but God's love for mankind has been before the foundation of the world. You see, man did not sin and God now changed his mind. If it was that after Adam sinned, that God now became a terrible God, it would mean that God that created the Adam did not know. You can't call him Alpha and Omega. Because he would not have known. You're trying to say that God did not know that Adam would do what he did. So you're trying to say that what Adam did caught God unawares. But is that who God is? So God has had a stand. Remember the last teaching we did on two Sundays ago? We're talking about how the image of God is who? Christ, right? Right? Image of God is Christ. So we saw from Genesis chapter 1 that God's plan was that mankind should be found in where? In Christ. So that wasn't a, it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't a response to an action. Yes? It was an action in itself. That my goal, my long suffering will be that man, woman, men and women are found in Christ. Which is what we summarize as what? Salvation. So Peter said that, Paul wrote that, long suffering of God is salvation, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things had to be understood. You see that? Now, Peter is saying that there are some things that Paul wrote that had to be understood. Were they had to be understood in those days? When Peter wrote this thing, were they had to be understood? They were. This is not a prophecy book. He was talking about their reality at the time. It is hard for some to understand at this time. But you are reading it 2,000 years later. Yeah? Yeah? Are we together? Now, there was an understanding that Paul communicated that was too hard to be comprehended by people. Because, well, now, one of the major reasons that would have been, can we say ignorance? Ignorance, lack of understanding. Because if Paul had said, see what Paul wrote to Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, yes, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You have known the holy scriptures. Now remember that the childhood spoken about there is what? Spiritual infancy, right? Yeah. So at the beginning of Timothy's new birth, yeah, the early stages of his new birth. Is that a good way to say that? So we can say that, and that from the beginning stage of your new birth, you have known the holy scriptures. And you know that the holy scriptures, they are able, they have an ability. So scriptures have an ability. The ability is what? To make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, to make you wise. So that means there's a wisdom of scriptures, right? Yes? There's a wisdom of scriptures. What is the word there? Another word for the wisdom there, make you wise is what? Skillful, right? So there's a skillfulness of the scriptures. Wise unto, the word there unto is what? Pertaining. So there is a skillfulness pertaining salvation. So there's a skillfulness pertaining the scriptures that produces salvation. There's a skillfulness you need to have about the scriptures that what produces salvation. So the wisdom of the scriptures is what salvation. So when you read Genesis to Malachi, remember at the time when Paul was writing his Timothy, the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, they were not written. Yeah, so all they had access to our scriptures was what? Genesis to Malachi, right? Right. So he was saying that you've not. So what they read to make them saved was in Matthew to Revelation. No. So all the men. So what Jesus taught for 40 days, did he teach Matthew to Revelation? Acts 1:3. Yes. Yes? He taught for many days? 40 days. Was he teaching book of Matthew?
No.
Was he teaching the book of Ephesians? What was he teaching? So, Jesus was teaching about the long suffering of our Lord, which is salvation, from where? The scriptures. Right? So, all they had access to was Genesis to Malachi, the writings of Moses and the prophets. Now, Paul is saying to the same to Timothy, he's saying that you've known the Holy Scriptures, they have an ability inherent in the Scriptures, is an ability to make you skillful concerning salvation. That's why we always say in Gospel Hours, our bias when reading the Scriptures is who? Christ. Our bias is Christ. A Christian should have a bias. Write that in your notes. A Christian, a Bible student should have a bias when reading Scriptures. A Bible student should have a bias when reading Scriptures. Our bias is Christ. Our bias is salvation. A Bible student, a Christian, should have a bias when reading Scriptures. Our bias, our slant, is Christ. A Bible student, a Christian, should have a slant, a bias when reading the Scriptures. Our bias, our slant, is Christ. Now, this is what that simply means. It simply means that when you are reading Scriptures, you have a standpoint already. Yeah? When you are opening your Genesis, when you are opening your Exodus, you have a standpoint already. Your standpoint is to use the lens of Christ to read the entire Scriptures. Amen? Amen? So a believer has a stand. I was talking with someone a few days ago, maybe 2-3 days ago, you know, and she was like, she made a post of a man, a pastor that said something, and he said, I think I remember. He said your salary is not given to you to meet your needs. But your salary is given to you as a seed for you to sow. Ngozi. Yeah. Your salary is not God's plan for you to feed yourself or something like that. So then your salary is a seed. Your salary is a seed that God gives to you to sow so that he will meet your needs. Guess where this Oga was teaching from? Just guess. You know those four rivers that Genesis said they met at the Garden of Eden? Those four rivers. People that know their Bible. Those four rivers that they say flow and flow and flow and get to the And I'm like, and see what he preached it as source of. So I had to now start from over again. And I was like, if I have a conversation with you like that, I'll rather not speak to you on a very minor level, but I'd rather start taking you from the basics. I made sure that I followed it precept to make a point. So, as she sent me a message, and she said, don't you think you have a bias? When I saw bias, the next thing I just said, yes, I have a bias. But I needed to be sure if she was saying my bias was against the preacher. And she said, no, not about the preacher. And I'm like, oh, if it's a bias, I have a bias. I'm talking about it because of my bias for Scriptures. So, a believer has a bias for Scriptures. Imagine, just because I want people to sow seed, I'll come and tell you that your salary is not to feed you. Imagine, just because I want to collect money from you, I'll now tell you, you go to a place where you are calling somebody, yes sir, yes ma, yes ma, yes ma, yes ma, Monday to Friday, and you now come to Sunday, I'll now tell you that salary you are collecting from those things, some of us, they slap us in our offices. So all the slap you are collecting and everything is to come and sow it. God's love is not seen on the type of cars you get or jobs you get. God's love is not understood based on the material things you get. God's love is not understood based on the material things you get. Hallelujah. That you have a job that is paying you 1 million naira per month, it doesn't mean because of that, that is God's proof of his love for you. Because a day will happen, you know, for instance, have you not seen people come and share testimony? Now tell us, what did the Lord do for you? Then I'll give you my praise. The Lord, all of you just say hallelujah. I say, no, that's for me. Praise the Lord. People at the back will increase their volume. Hallelujah. No, that's for pastor. I'm going to give this one to God. If you know that he's good, you know he gave you two legs. Why are you doing on your seat? Why are you doing on your seat? So somebody that came to church with one leg, uncle. How do you expect the person to feel? First, I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. Testify the woman holding mic and I say, now to your testimony. Can you imagine? I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. They say, now to your testimony. See, the believer's testimony forever is the salvation of his soul. Last week, they gave me a job. They gave me an official car. Have you not seen people that after they finish sharing their testimony, you know that thing, blessings of God make it rich and added no sorrow. God's blessing upon your life is that he has spoken well of you. Have you not seen people that after they finish sharing their testimony, the blessing of the Lord, they even open the bonnet and pastor will pour anointing oil. I've not asked yourself, you know, they can't try that kind of thing for cars like Rolls Royce, sensitive cars. That their engine is sensitive. So you open Rolls Royce and put anointing oil. No, now think about it now. When you know that once the thing touch one wrong sensor like this, you will pay 250,000 naira. So you open your bonnet for pastor to pray. So pastor, just lay your hands on the bonnet. Pastor, your hands is filled, it's blessed. Your hands are blessed. You know that blessings of the Lord. Pastor, just lay your hands. Pastor, you can sit on the driver's seat, but open the bonnet and sprinkle anointing oil. No, pastor, just leave it like that. It's not a car that do, you understand? So, have you not seen cars that after they finish blessing, they pour anointing on it, on their way back home, they have accident and the man breaks his leg? Or you are telling me, oh, maybe you've not seen. Me, I've seen, no. But I thought they said the blessing of the Lord added rich and make it no sorrow. Is that one no sorrow? Say your own car that they gave you. You know if you had a car that you might not have had an accident. It's possible you will not have the accident. Your own car, you had an accident, you broke one of your leg. You see, so Paul is writing to Timothy. He's saying that you've known the scriptures. They are able to make you wise unto salvation. That means we don't cherry pick from scriptures. We don't pick one verse and connect to another verse and make it make sense. For instance, cleanliness is next to godliness. Right? It's in the Bible, huh? You saying yes. Where is it? 2 Corinthians. It's not Colossians. It's Corinthians. It cannot be Corinthians. It cannot be Colossians. It's 2 Corinthians. But have you not seen people teach when they want to teach hygiene? They usually do it when they are dealing with marriage seminar, when they're talking about husband and wife. And next example, they'll say, don't pull your socks and the whole house is smelling. Remember the Bible says, cleanliness is next to godliness. You just lied. And that's really mad though. So we don't cherry pick from scriptures. So you see that God, scriptures are to make you wise unto something. So when you finish with these scriptures, what you should take home with is your bias salvation. Not the blessings of Abraham. And you think the blessing of Abraham is car. How can it be car? How can it be house? The grandson, the son of Abraham, they suffered to get their money. That one stayed how many years in that woman's house? 7 years in two places, bruh. 14 years. See, if he was wealthy like that, would you just give the father two million cows for the daughter? The son of Abraham did not enjoy money like that. You are the greatest. You are the greatest great granddaughter. And you think the blessing of Abraham is car? Think about it now. The richest people in the world, are they Christians? So how do you know God's love? I mean, God loves them more than us. If material things are your understanding or proof to understand God's love for you, it means that Dangote is loved by God more than you. Because, look at it though. Dangote with his billions, tomorrow, he can get saved. That means he will have eternal life and material possession. You've been saved. You've been saved. Oh, let's just say you. We all, we've been saved for years. Do you think God gave us eternal life? Is that love? Look at it. Is it another life we're going to eat? Is it another life you eat? That means God loves Dangote more than you. The reason why some are rich and some are poor is because some are greedy, some are covetous, a lot steal. Remember the first one was some. This one is a lot. I know now. Think about it now. God's love for mankind is seen in demonstration of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is God's, remember God's rich man? Remember that teaching, God's rich man? The powerful power of God's power was demonstrated towards the believer. That you will live forever. That is God's love. Every other thing can be amassed without God. Think about it. You know, people always say wealth of the Gentiles. When they say salvation, you know, there's a misunderstanding from that word salvation, which that word that means salvation. And people see that salvation is all-encompassing. Salvation covers eternal life, it covers your health, it covers your... who has not taken Panadol this year? So we've taken at least Panadol or Vitamin C. I know now. If you don't take Panadol, you take Vitamin C. Right? But I thought your health is covered by the blood. The blood of Christ was shed for forgiveness of sin, not insurance against sickness. See, if you don't take care of yourself, you end up where you should not end up. A man just passed recently, right? Evangelist Ryan Bonke, right? Yes. Right? You know he was sick. He had an operation last month that he was even put on his Facebook that people should pray for him. He needs to start learning how to walk again. That was a few weeks before he passed. How many people has he healed? How many people do you think he has healed among the 70 million people? You know, but look at it. But because of the power of salvation inherent in a believer, you can heal any type of sickness. But it doesn't mean that you are exempted from sickness if you don't take care of yourself. So that you know, Brother Pelumi, come and share, tell us how you know God loves you this year. First thing, this year you got a job. This year you didn't go to the hospital. What are people that they know, people that don't even believe in your Jesus, and the salary they are paying them is over 2 million naira per month. They just graduated last year. See, Dangote will come for our crossover survey and me, I will not be shouting. This is your year, sir. I will tell him, Dangote, sir, I see. This is your year. How will he look at me? I don't look at the pastor. I think this is your year, sir. And before you know it, next is, sir, can you just send the account number? Before you hear account number, you know, most of us know our account number, even more than our phone number. I'll think about, ask somebody to send the account number. If I ask you now to send me Brother Temi's number, and I ask you to send me your account number on two different days, the average speed an acceleration in which the velocity of communication that number will get to my phone, it will enter. But when I say send his number, after the day has finished, after you still post it on WhatsApp, today, is your WhatsApp still now quote? Don't forget the number. So a message, a love of God you cannot preach to Dangote and my brother here. It's not the love of God. That's it. How did Dangote make this money? He invested, he paid what he's supposed to pay, and he became wealthy. It's simple. The economy of the earth is handled by men. The economy of the earth, rather, is in the hands of men. Men are in control of the things on the earth. See, well, God created everything for you to have, let man be in charge. Praise the Lord, I just got an alert. Praise the Lord, the CEO just called me and said you arrived for the job. You didn't tell us you wrote CIPM, PMP. You didn't tell us you are a master's owner. You didn't tell us all those ones. You didn't tell us you are the best in the interview. Say, God, give me favor. God, prove your love for me. Give me favor. Lord, as I walk into this office, you didn't finish secondary school. As I walk into this office, let the main job be for me. If you are the CEO of that company and you see an illiterate walking to your gate by faith, yes, now it's not faith, what we call faith. You know, a lot of times what we call faith is actually an amplification of our fears. What we call faith, our faith in, is actually an amplification of your fear under the disguise of faith. It's not because you are scared you will not have a job, you are walking by faith to a company. And you know you did not finish the S2. Say, if you are the CEO and there are three people in front of you, one finished from Harvard, one finished from Herod Watt, the other one did not go to S2. And they now look at you. What do you think your strength is? He says, I can communicate. I have communication ability. with your suit and your tie. If you have three people like that and I don't have a company, we won't employ any of them. We won't employ the last one. Some people said to even get money, you have to have full CV. Ah, yes, now. They tell you bring your CV, bring guarantor. Look at verse 16. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is advantageous for what? Doctrine. In doctrine, which is teaching, what do you find there? Reproof. What is reproof? Evidence, right? Assurance. In reproof, what do you find?
Correction.
What is the word there? Correction?
Straighten up
or to rectify. Yeah? Then in correction, you are instructed in righteousness. Go on, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, what are these things? Long suffering of our Lord is salvation in verse 15. Yeah, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Right? As they do to the other scriptures, rather, unto their own destruction. Look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That means there's a way you will read scriptures and fall from your steadfastness, but it doesn't change the fact that you are saved forever. Yeah? Any destruction you will have for reading scriptures wrongly doesn't affect your salvation. Because your salvation is wholly and fully on the work of Christ. Amen. Look at verse 16, verse 18 now. But grow in grace. So rather than allow destruction, yeah, which you mean destruction. Remember, a word will only have sense or make sense in the context in which it is used. So destruction is not saying damnation. Yeah? Destruction is not saying rescued from heaven. You can't be rescued from heaven. Right? So destruction now would mean the opposite of growing in grace. Remember, this same Peter has already spoken about how you should desire the sincere milk of what? Of the word. Right? He's now ending it. He's now saying, Paul wrote about these things. The long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Now, you should grow in grace. So, is there anything called growth in grace? How do you grow in grace? Remember that word and? And? What's the word there and? Kai, which is, right? So, grow in grace, which is in the knowledge. The knowledge. That's how we say the knowledge of God's word makes us more effective. So, the more knowledgeable you are about God's word, you are more effective, and we can consider it that you are growing in grace. To him be the glory both now and forever. So, we see that God's ability from the beginning of time was to save. Look at Titus 1 verse 2. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, look at this carefully, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, can God lie? So, can God do everything? When you say God can do all things, can he do all things? Because your all things has qualified all things. With God, nothing shall be impossible. There's some things that are impossible with God, though. God does not kill. God does not lie. Yeah? Yeah? So now, which God that cannot lie promised before? So what did God promise before the world began? In this context, what did he promise? Hope of eternal life. It was a promise before time. It was God's will that man would live forever. Inasmuch as Adam did something, which is a rejection of knowledge, right? Which is what we call ate from the fruit. It is that God's unchanging, unending plan remained the same. That a man, having believed in the work of Christ, will be saved forever. The prophets communicated this in diverse. Look at Hebrews 1. Verse 1. We did John the last time, right? Now, see this. God who at sundry times, look at that. Oh, if you read it carefully, you will see that there is a comma after the God. Remember in Gospel Acts, we are good at rearranging our translations, right? GPT, Gospel Acts translation. Now, look at this. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past. What does diverse manner mean? Differently. Diverse ways. Can we say variable ways? Can we say that? Variable ways, right? That means we are saying God spoke in variable ways. Right? Is that what that verse is saying? Yes, yes, yes. Layman English. It says, who at sundry times, right, in time past, in diverse manner, spoke in time past, rather, unto the fathers by the prophet. So we are saying that God spoke to the father in variable ways by the prophets. That is to say there is variation in God. Go to James 1:13. James 1. Quickly. Hold your hands in Hebrews 1:1. Go to James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of who? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. What does God cannot be tempted with evil mean? It means that even in the ability of man trying to provoke God, he doesn't respond to that. Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own what? Lust. So what tempts you is your lust. Think about it. A man that goes into a supermarket to steal Maltina is that he lost after Maltina. You cannot steal Gala if you hate Gala. Yeah? So what tempts you is your lustful desire. Not go to your sister's house. Oh, yeah, there alone, only you and her. You say God is trying to test your faith. Brother, it's so harsh. I've not realized that if you are not lustful over a man will dress naked in front of you and you will not move. The moment you start making advances to a man that is naked in front of you, is that you lust after him. Okay, think about, okay, let's relate it to normal ways, like that one is too high. Okay, you know that if you like, if you say that your okay, let me ask you, what type of ladies do you like? I look at your friend. It's like, as if you wanted to know, Abi has been asking. Abi, you don't want to lie. just tell me, what kind of spec do you like?
We just thank God for life.
I'm going to say we thank God for life. Oga, sir. No, sit down. No, relax yourself. Sir, you answer well. What type of ladies do you like? Ah, no, don't go the God fearing. Who loves devil fearing? who loves devil fearing? God fearing is a default stuff for every man. Nobody loves devil fearing. God fearing, comma. look at it. You like dark in complexion, right? You like dark in complexion. What kind of dark? Am I? Who is darker than me here? like Brad Smith's kind of dark. they say that is black. okay, you like dark. Now think about this way. If he likes dark ladies, right? And he likes ladies that are. Let me help you. Look at you. Yes. No, you know you have established spiritually by saying God fearing. So when I mean well loaded, I mean physically. For instance, men that like fair ladies, you say, if a dark lady, you know, men have taste. Men have like people that are busty, quite big. You know, you they will tell you they want it quite chubby but not too chubby. Curvy. You got the curvy. That's your desire. You know, at the end of the day, that's why you're pushing our ladies to the gym. They be gymming Monday to Saturday. Sunday after church, they still go to the gym. Wow. Are you one of them? Why you say wow? Are you one? Sister Gabriela, it's not you I'm talking about. Though. Are you one? I'm sorry. It's inside life. You know, you push them to the gym. From church, they still go to the gym. Right? Fish farm. And they make you think it's their heart they are working on. Now, if you like ladies like that, that are quite curvy and chubby and all of that, do you know that the probability that you will, some men are very lustful. Okay. So if someone that is very dark, unkempt, stands in front of you, can you move towards her? So if someone that is fair comes in front of you and stands, she doesn't have to be naked. Your body will start vibrating. Why? Because you are only, so you don't say the woman is tempting you. It is that she is tempting you, not she. It is that your lust is tempting you from what you are seeing in her. Right? It is because you like what you are seeing, that's why you're moving close to her. So he's saying, never say that God tempts. Listen, no. He says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his lust and is what? Enticed. Right? Right? Look at the next verse. Then when lust had conceived, so when you conceive lust in your heart, what's the next thing? Brings forth what? Sin. Bathsheba that allowed David to commit sin is because Bathsheba was at least a speck of David. It is that there was something about her that captivated his lustful heart. We can now say he was tempted by Bathsheba, in case you want to say it that way. Look at what he now says. Your lust conceived, after being conceived, brings forth sin, and when it is finished, it brings forth what? Death. Next verse. Do not err, my beloved brother. What does not err mean? Do not go into error. Do not say anything erroneous. My brethren, look at verse 17. Carefully, this is the verse we are going to. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Yes? James now gives a quality of God that is very profound that will help us in Hebrews 1 verse 1. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness or there is no shadow of turning. Can we see? One of God's nature is that there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. Hebrews 1:1. James helps us to see God in a very beautiful light that says that there's no variableness or shadow of turning with God. So God's yes is yes. Right? God's being is God's being. There is no shadow. So when you begin to see shadows, is it from God or from men? Will shadows with variableness come from men or from God? So even if they said God's variableness, what does God's variableness mean? Men's expression in various ways of God's constant. Yeah? Yeah? Men's expression in various ways of God's being constant. So, what you now call it is what? God's variableness. But there's no variableness in God. There's no shadow of turning with God. There's no shadow with God. It is one way. But men can choose to express it in various ways. Right? We established that from James. Look at now Hebrews 1. So, would that God be correctly put in that place if we are saying God cannot have diverse or variable ways? But yes, he's saying that God spoke in various ways to the fathers. I'll say that again. Follow me, everyone. Is God constant? Is there a variableness with God? Is there diversity with God? So God is one way. God is God by himself. Right? If this verse now says, remember, the wrath of God, we establish how the wrath of God is man-made. Right? God, the wrath of God is an inactivity of God in as much as God's name is mentioned in the wrath of God. Yes? Yes, the anger of God is an inability of God, because once God can be angry or have wrath, as believers we are permitted to have wrath and anger, because we are like him. He's our father. He's the same womb. He's genetic. So we can choose to be angry. So if we establish that there is no variableness with God, now what did James say? He said, do not go into error, my brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. That means the moment you say anything that is variable with God, you've gone into error. Beautiful. So do not go into error. Everything about God is good and perfect. Yes, there's no variableness. The moment you say that there is a variableness and there's a bad thing with God, you've gone into error. So the moment you say God is putting you through this accident to test your faith, you've gone into error. You are the brother that Brother James was warning about. So don't go into error. Only good and perfect things come from God. Anything bad. Remember, John 10:10. The thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I've come to give life. So anything that looks like stealing, killing, or destruction, you've concluded in attributing God to be a thief. Is God a thief? No. Yeah? Does God destroy? No. The moment you say God destroys, you have tried to say that God was a thief at a point. Maybe God even did restitution. I mean, God became born again. Right? But God is constant from time. Now, a proper way to read Hebrews 1:1, it will not now mean God spoke at different manners. Mm-mm. Who are prophets? Prophets are people that speak to the people on behalf of God. So, where was the variableness? Is it in God speaking or in the prophet speaking? Beautiful, you are following. So now, you see that who at 100 times and in diverse manners speak in time past. That once you see diverse manners, it is not of God, because there is only one way of God. There is no variableness in God. So, a better way to read this is actually to remove God from that statement. Now, we will see how it makes sense. Brother Sukomi, imagine I say something about Brother Sukomi. How do I do this now? Brother Sukomi, what's your name, sister? Bisola. Brother Sukomi is a man. Imagine I separate Brasukomi and is a man and put something in the middle between Brasukomi is a man. So I just say something about Brasukomi, and Sister Bisola said something last week Sunday. Who is a man? It doesn't make exact sense, right? You understand what I'm trying to say? And all I did was I separated a statement I was supposed to make but put another information in between. No perfect example to remember. I'll try and think of one. Now, if you remove God from that statement, you see at sundry times in diverse manners in time past, speak in times past unto the fathers. Now, who actually spake in time past? Careful. Look at verse 2. Remember, we said God speaking is one way. No variableness. No diverse manners in God's way. Heart in these last days. Who is that heart referring to? Yes. Let me use the screen. Everyone look here. Remember this last week Sunday. Now, this is God. Now, remember the statement I gave, Brother Sukomi is a man, but in between that statement I put a lot of information in between, right? Now look at this carefully. This is the main statement of Hebrews 1. God had spoken in this. Clear. So the real intent of God is about the one way speaking, which is how? Through Christ. He has spoken in these days unto us by his Son. So now we said that God is one way, there's no variableness. Right? So if we say God spoke to us by his Son, is there a variableness in that? It is one. It is constant. It is constant. So we are saying God has in these days spoken unto us by his Son. Who spoke in time past? Was it God or the prophet? The prophet spoke, and because they were trying to express God's constant nature, but because of their level of knowledge and understanding, there had to be variableness, which would make it look like God had varying things he was saying. So, a good way to read Hebrews 1 verse 1 would now mean that at sundry times, in diverse manners, the prophet spoke to the Father. Did you get that? Okay, look at it again. God, remove God. God has a one way of speaking. The one way of God speaking, remember, who is the word of God? Christ. Not that word logos. What is logos? The logic of God. The pattern of God, God's one-way pattern from time. I'm building this from Genesis 1 verse 26 we read last 2 weeks. The image of God is Christ. So God's one way of thought, God's one pattern of thought, God's one logic of thought, God's logic is who? Christ. There is no variableness with Christ. So the moment you say God has a variableness, you should realize that variableness is with men. Yes? Clear to that extent? So, God now, no variableness, his constant way. So, eliminate the entire who at 100 times and everything and just put God in front of hearts. So, we will see that God had in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. It will mean that is the one way God spoke. Clear? Is it clear now? So, God had spoken in this last day. So it is that there was a speaking or there was a logic before time, but people were expressing in diverse manners. But a wrong reading of that will make you think like it was God that had diverse manners. But it was the prophets that had diverse manners. For instance, you know how it is that there's a way you do word of knowledge for someone, for instance, and there's sensitive information you will not talk about. If I imagine that this brother stole last night. Brother Shegun, you stole last night. Why did you steal 550 naira? And you stole the man's car. Prophet A can do that. Prophet B can come and say, brother, repent from your ways. Did he pass the same message? The same thing? Were they in diverse manners? Yes. Well, this is it. Beautiful, I got it. Who was speaking in one way? By the Spirit. So, the Spirit communication was one. The main essence of it is that brother should change. But two prophets in diverse manners now said it in two different ways. You stole your car, you stole money. Another prophet in another way. But did it change the fact that it was the same Spirit in two of them saying the same thing? Clearer? So, it is one information that is to go to Brother Shegun. One information is to go to Brother Shegun. Five different prophets can say it in five different ways. It doesn't change the fact that it is one information to Brother Shegun. Clear? So, God's one way, so God's way of speaking from time, we saw Genesis chapter 1, is through his logic Christ. But the prophet in diverse ways communicated that knowledge. Ezekiel will say what? Can these dry bones live? Remember, scriptures is about Christ. You that you were dead in sins, you've what? Risen with Christ. Because the same spirit that was in him, you understand that? So, when Isaiah said, you shall eat the good of the land, Isaiah said as a virgin, bring forth Emmanuel. How did Moses say it? He said it in diverse ways. He said Abraham. Remember that story of Abraham we looked at in Galatians chapter 3? Abraham had two sons, one was a bondwoman, one was a free woman. What did Paul say it was about? An allegory. So it was one information that was to be passed, which is about God's demonstration of his logic to mankind, which is Christ. But the prophet in diverse ways said one thing, and because of the diversity, there is a probability that you will not say the exact way it should be said. So Christ just came, and that was the exact speaking of God. So Hebrews 1 will say, at sundry times in time past, in diverse manners, the prophet spake unto the fathers. Now God has spoken by his son, who is the what? The heir. Now, who he had appointed heirs of all things. What do the heirs of all things mean? The heir of all things will be the things the prophet has spoken. It will be that he is the fulfiller of the things the prophet has spoken. Okay. Church is quiet today. Pick out this information from this. The prophet spoke in diverse manners to the fathers. God has spoken in one way by expressing his logic to us, and the word became flesh. Look at Psalm 130 verse 3. Look at this. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity. So the psalmist is saying, if God should mark iniquities for men, who will stand? Who will stand? No one. Look at it in verse 4. But there is what? Forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So, does God want to be feared? Yes? So, when you say, I have the fear of God. Remember, you know that verse that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the wisdom in that? So, that your reference for God is the beginning of your... So, the wisdom in itself is forgiveness of sins. So, does God want to be feared? Yes. Is God to be feared? Yes. In reference to what? Forgiveness of sins. God does not impute sin. Look at Romans 4, 7. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Look at verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man. Who is that man David described? Yeah, you right? Yeah? So can we say the man that David described is the man in Christ? So David described the blessedness of that man in Christ, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. So does God impute things? Does God impute things to people? Sin? Does God impute sin? No. Does he impute righteousness? Yes. Does he impute sin? No. How does he impute righteousness? What does God see? Yes. Beautiful faith. Yes? It is your faith that is seen that imputes a righteousness to you. Right? So he's saying that David described the blessedness of that man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Look at verse 7. Saying, saying, blessed are they which whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Remember we spoke about this in passing one day like that. When you say blessed, our sins covered, our sins are not covered, right? Yeah? What are our sins? They've been forgiven. Right? So, can we say covered there is figurative for actually the same thing he said before, which is iniquities are forgiven. Right? So, blessed are those, are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are forgiven. A good way to read that. Look at Hebrews 10:2. For then, would they not have ceased? Look at verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. Now, remember this teaching 2 weeks ago. The law came by who? Grace, which is the reality. Rather, the law was given. By who? Was the law given by God? Who gave the law? Look at this. So, James 1:16-17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from God, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. There's no shadow in the things. Now, if he's saying the law has a shadow, another example and another affirmation of the fact that the law couldn't have come from God will be this verse. Because he's saying the law has a shadow. God's reality is his reality. You see that? There is no shadow of turning of variableness. If there's a shadow with the law, that means the law is not from God. But grace, which is the reality, came by Christ. The grace and reality, grace which is reality, which is the coming by Christ, yes, just accept it. The coming by Christ is actually God who had spoken in these last days. So, God who has spoken in these last days, he's speaking is in the fact that Jesus, the grace, Jesus came as the grace, as God's grace, and was the reality of God. So, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things. A shadow, not the very image. Now, what would be the very image? The very image would be the grace and reality which came by Christ. The shadow would be the variableness which probably could fall under the light of the fact that the prophet spoke in diverse manners to the fathers. Am I confusing anybody here? Anybody confused there? Yes, let me see your hands. Yes? Now, this is what I said. Remember, there is no variableness with God. God's logic, his one way of speaking is by Christ. Right? God's express way of speaking is by Christ. If there's no variableness with God, the law is saying that there's a shadow. It was a shadow of good things. Not even, having a shadow. Remember James 1:17 also tells us that what? There is no shadow of turning. So if you said the law has a shadow, is the law from God? No. So that means what you call from God will be a reality or a constant. Which is grace and reality, which came by Christ. Yeah. So now it will mean that for John chapter 1, when he says that the law was given. 2 weeks ago, I was teaching about how the law was given by Moses, not given by God. Because God's one way and one plan had been the same from the beginning. So that means Moses giving the law is part of the diverse manners that the prophet spoke to the fathers. You get that now? Beautiful. So, Moses' law giving is one of those things that Hebrews 1 says the prophet spoke to the fathers in diverse manners. So, one of those things called diverse manners is part of the law. Clearer now. So, now, we now see that it says, not the very image of things to come. Why? Because the image of the particular thing God had in mind as content is what? Logic of God, which is who? Christ. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year after year. Now, so Christ's sacrifice is a one. There would be varieties in the offering of sacrifices. Why? Because it's not the same ram that was killed every year. Did you get that? If they are doing a sacrifice, see, if you are killing a cow every year, is it the same cow you killed last year, you're killing this year? So that's diverse cows. I call it diverse cows. Or diverse killings. Now, he says that they offer this year after year, by year, continually make the commas thereunto perfect. He says, it cannot, can never. Look at the next verse. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should what? Have no more conscience of sins. So, there was God's logic was about a one way of speaking, which is Christ. the variable diverse manners included the yearly sacrifices they were giving every year. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 13. Look at this. Look at verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me. Who is speaking here? No. Get it well. Who is speaking here? Isaiah, as a who? Prophet, as a spokesman of God. Right? So, this is one of the ways the prophet spoke. Yes? So, one of the ways the prophet spoke to the fathers was bring. But in as much as it was Isaiah speaking, he was speaking on behalf to a people. Right? So what is he saying? He says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. Now, when he's speaking as a prophet, remember he's not speaking on his behalf. So when that unto me, is it unto Isaiah? No, because he's speaking as a prophet of God. So bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. What is incense? Simple English of incense. Can we call it burnt offering? Incense. So can we call it that smoke that comes out of burnt offering? The one that doesn't get your stomach full. He says, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the callings of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. So even when they come together in their diverse manners, trying to burn incenses, trying to please God, it was abomination to God. Because they were trying to fulfill what only God could fulfill. That's why the law came. The law was to show them that what God was offering, they couldn't do it on their accord. Do you get that? Now, look at verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hated. What would be the appointed feast they were celebrating here? Passover. Yes? Passover. What do you call it? Another one? Feast of Sabbath. Uh-huh. Pentecost. Yeah? They are a trouble unto me, I am willing to bear them. This is a prophet speaking, one of the diverse manners. Right? Look at the next verse. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Their hands are full of blood. Which blood were they full of? The blood they got, thinking they could replace the blood that God wanted to shed. Right? Because God's plan from time was that mankind should be found based on that blood in Christ. Because of the hardness of their hearts, they were able to find what they shouldn't have found. Do you get that? It is the hardness of their heart that caused them to find. So they were using a spotless sacrifice in quotes. But it is because of their unbelief in that spotless sacrifice, the lamp that John said, behold the lamp of God, takes away the sins of God. They thought they could use a lamp to represent the lamp of God. But it was a shadow of turning. Shadow with variableness. But there was one way that God wanted to speak to mankind. You will see it in this verse. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil doing of yours from my eyes. So what were the evil doing of theirs? Sacrifices, incense, killing of animals. What did God call it? Evil doings. Now, did that say you should not eat beef? It is that they were burning a particular animal for a purpose. The purpose we kill animals is to eat now. But their purpose was what? To offer as a sacrifice. He's now saying, he says, desist from your evil doings. You see, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. That means he called it evil twice. Right? Look at the next verse. Learn to do well. So when he says do evil, do away with evil, put away evil, and he gave another instruction. What's the next instruction? Learn to do what? Well. Learn to do what? Well. So what is doing well? Opposite of doing evil. What is he doing well? That Isaiah said, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. That doing well, it is that the sacrifices you are burning in court of sacrifice, there are people that are widows around you that you can feed with that lamp. Yeah? The sacrifices you are trying to bring on my behalf, you can use it to what? Recognize the fact that there are people that are hungry amongst you. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widows. Look at verse 18. Come now. So it has explained the evil that was being done and given the good to be done to replace the evil. Now it is now come now, come now, come now, come now, come now, come now, right? Come now. Let us reason together. How do we reason together? He says, said the Lord. Remember, the prophet Isaiah was speaking. Yes? Yes? Said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Together here? Everyone here? Though your sins may be what? As scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's one African translation that said, they shall be as white as the inside of a coconut. So, what did God want to reason with them on? Forgiveness of sins. That the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. God's plan from time had been salvation. Salvation was not a response to an action of man. If not, it will mean that God does not know the end from the beginning. Look at verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall what? Eat the good of the land. Now, what is the good of the land that was offered in verse 18? If your sins be as red as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Right? So, a man that what? Is willing and obedient. How did John put willing and obedient in his books? Who said that? Faith, belief, yeah? So, what Isaiah wrote as willing as obedient, what did John write it as? Believe. You know, John 5, thereabout, he says, I am that bread of life. I am that water. How do you drink from the water and eat from the bread of life? By being willing and obedient, which is what? By believing. So, if you believe, you shall eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of what? Sins. So, who has eaten from the good of the land? The believer has eaten from the good of the land. So, is any believer hungry? Say it in two ways, oh. Well, the people are hungry right now. Right now, like this, as we are talking. Who is hungry here? Okay, that in context. So, who is hungry in spiritual realm? Who is hungry physically? We'll soon close. So, a believer that has believed, which is an expression of what? Being willing and obedient, as eating from the good of the land. Lift your hand and say, I have eaten from the good of the land. So, God's love has been from the beginning of time. Look at 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, listen, careful. Don't lose track here. Listen. What verse in Isaiah expresses this verse? Isaiah 1 we read. What verse in that book expresses this verse? Open your Bible, go back to Isaiah 1. Leave this one on the screen. Over to Isaiah 1. Everyone get there first before I ask for an answer. Isaiah chapter 1, right? We read from verse 13. Now, in this verse, right? What verse in Isaiah chapter 1 expresses this verse? What does 17 say? Learn to do well. Seek what? So, can we summarize verse 17 as let brotherly love continue? Yes? So, can we replace verse 17 with verse 7? Beloved, but rather, you know, they will not be beloved because at the time they were not born again. But we can remove the beloved and say, let us love one another rather than offering sacrifices, vain sacrifices that are abomination to God. So, what we did was replace verse 7 here. You say, for love is of God. When you are seeking judgment for the fatherless, what are you expressing? Love. When you are seeking judgment for the motherless, for the widowless. Is there widowless? Sorry. For the widows. Widows and widows. And widowless. What are you seeking? What are you expressing? Love. So, John, how did John write it there? Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. And knoweth, look at verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God was love. For God was love. For God was love. You see, some people try to justify some things. You know, you hear some people say about how God killed in the Old Testament, but it was out of love. Have you heard people say that thing before? See, any time in life that God would have done something evil out of love, it means I'm permitted to do that out of love. Chebiwa from the womb. It means I am permitted to do that. If God at any time had killed out of love, it means that killing should be part of love. Maybe you just offend me one day and I just carry one knife, I just stab you. You know I love you. I'll now look at your sister. Let brother love continue. Won't I be running for my life? That's you. Let brother love continue after I stabbed you. It means I have to watch my back. Because some of you want to show love like your father. You know I mean, father. I mean, I'm teaching through audio. I will stay in the office. I lock the door. I connect the speaker. I'll teach you to audio. The witness projector. So let brotherly love. God is love. God was not love. Not God was love. God is love. God is love. Present continuous tense. Past present continuous tense. God is love. Look at everybody and say, God is love. God is love. God is love. So what he says, out of his love, he now says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not what? So how did Isaiah call whosoever believes? Whosoever is willing and obedient shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. How is it that what God tried to come to deliver mankind from, destruction and death, is what he's now killing them for? So when you see a man that says, so if I say it because I love you, and you now tell me your boss is fighting you at work, and I say, Lord, show that you love. What if your boss is even assisting you in her church? I mean, she's even working more than you in reference to labor in the world. So I now say, God, show that you love. You see, a lot of times what we just express is selfishness. Any man fighting me on my way to my progress, what are you living for? Die. Let the right hand wither. You've not seen prayer. Wither. You know what I mean? I say wither. Out your bone, just crush. Just see. If you have worked for 20 years and you've built a dynasty and you have 3 children, you now pass one church, God's palace. Maybe we will not put speaker outside. Maybe you are even using this. You now wind down. Let me hear what they are saying. Every man, maybe you are not a Christian. We shall eat the fruit of the Gentiles. How will you feel? You've worked for 20 years. Somebody just wants to use prayer and collect all your life savings. Is that not what you are doing? The wealth of the Gentiles shall become my own. Oh, I will eat the fruit of work I have not worked for. Okay, go and work. Oh. Go and work. Because if it is you, you will not like someone to report it. Not so. Look at it now. Look at it. Imagine my dad passed now and another person is reaping what he has sown. And we, maybe we're even tracking from here to the house. We'll not be begging, Sir Jimmy, please help us. Because I cannot take all of us. I said, Brasil, come on, please help mommy. Me and Esther will follow Sita Jamila. Imagine. Just because, let's even assume we're never Christians enough. God's love is that you sacrificially give. You see, that's why we say the knowledge of God's word makes you effective. See, it's the degree of your understanding of God's love for mankind that you express love to other people. That's why there are some sensitive issues you cannot talk about on social media. Love work is not you do good to me, I do good to you. How did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? He says, of what difference are you? You pat my back, I pat your back. What difference are the unbelievers do that? But you pat a person's back after he stabbed you. That is what you call love work. That's the real love work. Romans says what? While you were yet sinners. That's when Christ died. That means you had forgiveness ahead of time. That's the real love work. A proper understanding of this will give you an effect. See, it's interesting. It's interesting. Lift your hand and say, I'm a love being. I'm a love. Look at Luke 9. Finally, let's look at Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 53, 52. Love work is not. Love work is not we are going to the same church and because no. Love work is that you are clearly seeing every proof that this guy is terrible. He's a wicked person. It is clear. In fact, on him there's wickedness spelling and oozing. What is expected from you is that thing called love work. It's not, you see, that's why when you have love and compassion for people, you can easily heal the sick or cast out demons. Your love will propel you to want to cast out demons to where it should be. Look at, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 3. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. 54. And when his disciples, who are James and who? What did they see? What did they see? They did not receive him. Right? James and John saw this. They said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? They didn't stop there. They used scriptural backing. They used Bible verse to back it up. I've not realized, Holy Ghost fire. Send down fire again. Holy Ghost fire. This is the verse they took it from. When the demon doesn't go, God of Elijah. Fire. They were calling down fire. Was it in scriptures that Elias used fire to kill people? Yes. He was straight. Was it of God? No. That means to say, there was something they did that. So, see, listen to this. There's an extent of rejection that they gave to Jesus that his disciples got so angry. You see, the different thing if two of you are following me now, I'm a leader, I'm going somewhere, and they reject me. So you know, a lot of followers nowadays, now they say, wisdom, let's just leave it for them. Let's leave it. It's not my head. It's different from when you go to a place and they reject you. The kind of anger you have is not the kind of anger I have. We cannot even assume the extent of rejection they gave Jesus. But we can only get a degree of it just because by understanding that he got the disciples so angry that they wanted to call down fire. Amen. You see, God does not have fire, you know, bruh? Fire. That's what you call fire. That's what you call Holy Ghost fire. It's not of God, though. The only Holy Ghost fire that is of God is zeal and passion for the gospel. So fire is passion for the gospel. Fire doesn't destroy. You know, for our God is a consuming fire. Should we look at that today? Look at that next week. For our God is a consuming fire doesn't mean that God is looking for who to consume. It is that the law that was stated expressly has been consumed now that grace and truth has came by Jesus. You know, sometimes because you want to communicate the truth, you have to use some past participle and future tense. Glory to God. So now that Christ has died and was resurrected, the law has been consumed by the consuming fire. In case you want to say God has a fire. The fire of God doesn't consume people. Look at verse 54. 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy life, but to save them. And they went to another village. So, they wanted Jesus to be a thief. Yes? John 10:10. The thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So they wanted to put Jesus as a thief. Now, if we are seeing that the Word became flesh, right? And Jesus is the full express image of God. So Jesus was God's representation of God to mankind. Exact image of who God is who Jesus expressed to mankind. That means Jesus is God. Yeah? Yeah? So that means Jesus is God. That is to tell you that if it was God that approved Elijah's fire, why is God disapproving this? It would mean that there's a variableness with God. It would mean that there's a variableness with God. At the time he approves fire, at the other time he doesn't approve fire. But God's love is what? Constant. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, I'm a love being. God loves me forever. Lift your hands and say that properly. I'm a love being. God loves me forever. I'm loved of God forever. God lives in me forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah.